Hi there, it's Nikki. I wanted to take a quick minute to make sure you knew about our free on-demand copywriting training. Whether you're brand new to copywriting or you just can't seem to hit your income goals, this training is for you. You'll learn the three secrets to landing freelance copywriting work without wasting time on frustrating job bidding sites like Upwork and Fiverr or cold calling strangers. And if you've listened to any of the student stories on this podcast, this is the exact same training they all got started with. I'm talking about KK, who's making six figures working part-time and who just retired her husband to help her run the business. Stuart, who replaced his full-time salary with freelance copywriting work and then some. Stacy, who hit six figures in 6 months, her very first year as a full-time freelancer. Ashley, who landed the in-house copywriting job of her dreams. They all started with this free training, and you can get started with that same training too. Sign up right now at freecopywritingtraining.com. Welcome to the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast, where you'll get tips, tools, and training for new and aspiring copywriters, plus a few things even the established pros will want to know. My name is Nikki Krawczyk, and I've been a copywriter for more than 15 years, writing for multi-billion dollar companies down to solopreneurs and every size business in between. The Filthy Rich Writer team and I are here to teach you everything we've learned in our years in the industry so that you can craft a successful copywriting career of your own. To us, being filthy rich means having a job you love, being good at what you do, and making great money doing it. Let's dig in. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. Hello, ladies.
Hello. And they're going to say hello, Kate, and then both of us were going to say hello back.
Oh, that's true. I should have missed opportunity.
It's Kate squared.
Yep.
Hello, Kates.
Hello.
Good unison. Oh, so much fun. If you have not guessed, we have a special guest star on this episode of the podcast, Ms. Kate Kosidar.
It's me.
Hello.
Hi.
She is a CCA student and has been very successful. And we know that's always fun to listen to and fun to get some inspiration from. And also, frankly, some tips and some tricks and all kinds of advice. So we're going to spend the next little bit of time talking to Kate and learning about her journey to copywriting. So thanks for being with us, Kate.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And also thanks for being with us, Kate Sitars.
I mean,
it's always good to have
Kate
you.
Number two today. I'll take a back seat.
Come on, Kate Sitars, you're number one in my heart.
Oh, thank you. Oh, feelings mutual.
I love that.
A lot of Kate love. Love it.
So much Kate love. So Kate Kosidar, how did you, let's go all the way back. Mm-hmm. How did you get interested in copywriting? When was that? What's your superhero origin story?
Oh, great question. Yeah, I knew you were going to ask too. I should have prepared something. So back in 2019, before there was a global pandemic and all of that crazy stuff, I was ready to move on from my job. There was, I'd been with in nonprofit, faith-based nonprofit work for over a decade, which for a millennial is a long time. And I was ready to just move on and do something different. So way before that, when I was in college, I majored in broadcast news journalism for Liddy one day. I walked into my journalism 101 class because I loved writing. That's the point of this part of the story. I loved writing. I was really good at it and I liked doing it. And I was like, oh yeah, journalism, that seems like a good fit. So I walked into journalism 101. The professor sent us out to the quad to like interview people. I walked out to go to the quad and I walked straight to the registrar. And I was like, I would like to change my major. I am not interested in talking to strangers. So that was like the false start of my writing career. And I did something completely different. So yeah, then 2019, I'm ready for a change. And I wish I could remember like the moment that Nikki Krawczyk crossed my line of vision. But I don't remember that lightning bolt moment, but it was definitely, whenever it was, it certainly changed the course of my life as we know it.
I signed up
for a different copy.
I don't know if I knew that.
It's not creepy at all.
The secrets are coming out.
Different
copy. I felt like I knew your origin story, and now I feel like I don't know you, Kate.
Yeah, so I started with a different copywriting course, and there was, thank God, a money-back guarantee because it was terrible. And I was like, let's do this other one. And it's been amazing. It's been very fast, so fast that, yeah, I guess, like, to fast forward to now, I have not quite doubled my nonprofit salary, but I'm working part-time and I have 1.5. So working part-time, I'm making 1.5 times what I made then. So, I mean,
a full-time job, right?
Yes. From a full-time to part-time.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I just feel so lucky to have already been established when, or at least, you know, pitching and concentrating on copywriting full time by the time the pandemic hit. And I just kind of kept going. And it was scary there for everyone for a couple of months. But yeah, I don't know.
That's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations. Thanks. What a big milestone to hit. That's amazing.
Yeah, I want to go back.
Curious.
To, oh, maybe sorry, we're go curious ahead. About the same thing.
Maybe. I'm curious as to, so you took another course first, but it wasn't quite what you were looking for, but you still took another course. I'm curious what it was about copywriting that, because I feel like there's so many people that if they take one course in something, they go, no, I don't want it at all. This is not for me. What was it about copywriting that made you want to go, okay, I'm going to find something else to give this a shot?
Wow, that's a, I have no, I have a feeling it was just the Facebook, Google algorithm. Like it kept, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
Once you start searching for something, it like, it's the good aspect of the echo chamber where you're like, no, yeah. No, seriously. Like you can do this. This is mm-hmm. a thing. You can do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got a dud. That's okay. There's other like legit things out there. So I feel like it was just, I had enough good, like I was also looking into like content writing mm-hmm. and so I knew like in back in 2019 people were still making pretty good money or could make pretty good money doing content writing. I don't know that that's, I don't know if during the pandemic if that was also true, but mm-hmm. I have a feeling not quite as much.
Yeah.
So I am grateful that I kept looking, and I was like, I did look into, I never bought like a content writing course or, you know, guidance from that. But yeah, I think it was just the echo chamber and like realizing, yep, this is real. Just because that one person didn't know how to teach it or mm-hmm. or whatever, it doesn't mean it's not a valuable skill. So
mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to your first pitching foray. I feel like that's when I first met you. I want to say it was maybe post Pitchapalooza. Was that when you first started pitching?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was beginning of 2020 then? Mm-hmm. Before, yep. Still before the pandemic.
Right before, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and that's I was actually talking with my husband about this recently, but I booked a coaching call with you, yeah. Kate. Right around, like right after Pitchapalooza, the beginning of the pandemic, I guess mm-hmm. it was a little bit after Pitchapalooza, but yeah, I sent out those very first pitches there in January. I think it was January, and I had just I'd been doing copywriting part time for the end of 2019, mm-hmm. like finished my last day at my job December 31st of 2019, and then January 1, I was like, flying freelance, like just like head first. You know, very lucky I wasn't, well, I was going to say I'm lucky I wasn't the only wage earner in the house, but my husband at the same time was embarking on a totally new career. Like he got his job in October of 2019 in sales. And his position is commission only. So like we went from like not very well or high paid jobs, both of us working in nonprofit, to like these potentially very well paid positions, but all like rent, like nothing guaranteed from week to week or month to month. Like both of us still are just like, okay, well, whatever money we bring in this week, we bring in this week. And, you know, and it was scary. And then, you know, we got hit with the pandemic. So, but anyway, so the beginning of the pandemic is when I got my beautiful coaching with Kate. I got a four, you can't get this anymore. Sorry, friends. But, we had 4 weeks together. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that, like, I don't want to coaching is highly valuable. But at the same time, like, I was expecting Kate to tell me, like, the secret that is not CCA that really only I needed to know. Like,
which was that you were good. Is what, I feel like that's what you needed. Someone to be like, yes, you're 2 thumbs up.
Maybe that is true. Yes, that might be it. Like I needed some external like validation maybe. So that's a huge value of coaching for sure. But I was like, okay, yeah. So I know I need to like pitch, but like, what do I need to do? Like, you know, like if I'm, yeah. So, but like, what about me? Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, 1,000%. That's all of us, right? I mean, you've seen it having been a coach now too, yeah. On the other side of it. It's
exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes. Oh yes. For you, it's totally different.
For you, you just
here's the magic client button. Yes.
I would like to have that button. Yes. I have not found it yet, but pitching is a magic client button. It's just hard work. It's hard to push. And you just, mm-hmm. It gets easier.
Exactly.
It's not actually that hard, but.
But when you first start out, it feels really hard, yeah. Doesn't it? I will certainly not downplay that. And we'll certainly not, you know, it makes sense that you were looking for the different magic button. Cause I think that pitching brings up, once you do it, it's like, oh, wait, that was just an email.
Yeah.
It actually wasn't that bad. And then the more you do it, you're like, no, I'm just send off a pitch.
Well, and the more you can forget what you sent out. And I mean that in the sense of like, remember, obviously in your pitching tracking, you don't want to completely forget. You want to follow up, but the more you can let go of it and move on to the next, the better. And then, I forget I pitched these people. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay. And then I feel like there's less of that emotional mm-hmm. baggage with it.
Oh, that's a great point. The emotional baggage of pitching is like when I was starting out, the emotional part was huge. High anxiety, high tension, high like anxious and nervous are the same, but what's gonna happen? And then compared to now, it's like, okay, I've got this idea, I think you should use it. I had one pitch that I sent out and I went to follow up. They responded and they were like, thanks, but you know, maybe we'll get back to you later. And I went to follow up again, like a month or so after that. And I went onto their website and they implemented my idea. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that as a compliment. What I'm doing is valuable, even if I'm not actually getting the work. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important, for me, that's an important mindset, that a pitch is a service to a business as well as a lead generator for me. So I don't know if that's helpful.
Yeah, I like that. Well, and I like, you know, in terms of, I think we talked a little bit about validation here, getting valid, and please do not get me wrong. I actually did book a coaching call with a business coach a couple of years ago to be like, is it possible? And she's like, yes. Oh, okay. That's all I needed to know. I think that validation is a key thing, but getting it from, I love that perspective of they implemented my idea, and frankly, probably didn't do it as well as they would if you had done it for them. But I love that. It would have been very easy to see that and go, oh, it's never going to work if they're just going to take my ideas. And if I, every time I pitch someone, they're just going to take my ideas. And I love that instead you view that as validation of the fact that you have good ideas and that you are skilled at what you do. And yes, these fools, which I mean, if that's the kind of people they are anyway, I would argue that you dodged a bullet because it sounds like kind of a crummy company with low morals, but low morals. But I love that you turn that instead into validation of your own ideas and your own skill. I think that's really wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Me there. And there have been plenty of people who have said, hey, that is a great idea. And would you do it for me? So that's even better.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, that's the better outcome.
On balance, but that happens far more than the implement my ideas without paying me. But like, you know, the other part is that I'm not inventing any copywriting wheels. Like they're ideas that others have done or like copywriting mm-hmm. techniques that are just good practice in a lot of cases. So it's not like I've invented something fabulous and they're like stealing my copyrighted
your proprietary
yeah
copy yes that was the R I like the TM for folks so. Not watching she made a TM in the air copyright with an R mm-hmm. So you started pitching and then I remember distinctly a point when you said I think there were two moments where we had another chat and you were like I don't know where my next clients are coming from as we all freak out. Yeah, I know. You remember this moment. And I was like, write down what you do have. And then I remember you sent back a list to me and you were like, oh my gosh, yeah. And the list was like this long. And then not far after, you were like, I have too many retainer clients. I can't. Which I love. It was so walk us through that moment. And I think both starting with that anxiety that I think a lot of freelancers feel that they don't feel like they have consistent work until they actually look back on it. And then that moment of, oh my gosh, I have too much work.
Yeah. That's a tough one to balance. And I think about that moment often now, like just right when I feel like I don't have enough income coming in or enough work or, you know, this week is kind of a slow week for me. I don't have a lot of projects due. I actually have a practice now where I have all of my, I do have some contracts like retainer. I'm paring that down though, because I'm finding I don't love doing that much. On the coaching call earlier today, I get bored. I don't want to do the same kind of projects all the mm-hmm. time. So, but like having all that written down and then also all of my upcoming projects written down is important. So I've been, you know, I feel like I don't have enough work, but then realizing I have plenty of work. And then I've also been like, oh, I forgot that this project was due at the same time as this other project. And now I am freaking out because I do not have time. Of course, I always make time. Like that's what you have to do as a freelancer. Your deadlines are sacred. So I meet my deadlines. But yeah, having it written down and then even though I don't know if it's like chock full, but certainly full enough. My schedule is full enough. You know, trying to continue the pitching habit or routine and continuing to send out. And that's something that I start like, where is that balance exactly? I'm not sending out 30 pitches a week anymore. Mm-hmm. That would be hard to keep up with in addition mm-hmm. to my work, but also like maybe I would get like literally too many clients. I don't know. So, you know, I set aside one day a week to at least send out at least one pitch, sometimes up to five if I'm feeling especially inspired or whatever. But that's just me, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, I work part-time. I have four mm-hmm. kids and they take up, two of them are like tweens and one, I got a tween and a teen and they are very busy and it's obnoxious. And So I had set to be available to them. And so I only work, you know, the mornings. That's fine. So
yeah. 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 I've heard that this whole parenting thing does take up some time. Interesting.
You know, yeah. I thought I was the only one, but I guess.
But that's cool that you can, I mean, like to put all of that together, that you now have more time for your kids mm-hmm. and you work less hours and you're making 150% of what you were doing before.
Yeah. It's absurd.
That's amazing.
It's absurd. I don't even know. I don't know how this happened, but I'm grateful for it. And I'm going to keep doing the work to make sure it doesn't stop because I'm for it.
That's how it happened. Yeah. You kept doing the work. Yeah. That's the secret.
I was just about to say.
You know how
you
happened.
Figured it out. That's the button. You did the work. Yeah. You found the magic button.
Ding, 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 ding.
Love that button.
Yeah. But you know what, that it's the, I was kind of laughing to myself as you were talking about that moment between I'm panicked, I don't have work. And then seemingly the next moment, oh my God, I have too much work. And I feel like we hear that from students a lot. And I think that there must be, I think that must be a drop off point for a lot of people. The I'm panicked, I don't have enough work. I'm going to go find another job, or I'm going to, because I certainly don't want to get like metaphysical or new agey here or anything like that, but it almost feels like that's that little bit of a test from the universe. Like, can you believe in yourself just a little bit longer? Can you keep taking action just a little bit longer? And then it's like, oh, boom, there you go. Down the other side of the hill, sledding down that hill. Yeah. or getting the snowball going, right. Oh. Going down that hill. Cause it is, it's that, and that's kind of like the ultimate moment of panic of, oh my God, I'm all in on this. Can I do this? Is this really a thing? And that continuing to, that is the magic button, the continuing to take action yeah. and do the things that you know that you're supposed to do until all of a sudden action starts happening around you. And then boom, you've got a ton of clients.
Yep. Exactly. When I was starting, my husband had the analogy of a train getting started, and that's always stuck with me. And for the first couple of months, it was like, you know, I would like, we'd be regrouping at the end of the day, and I'd be like, I'm exhausted, like, I feel like nothing's happening. And he was he is just so supportive and, you know, just always in my corner. So he would just be like, no, it's the train. You got to like work really hard. It's going to be slow going, get those wheels in motion, but eventually it's going to take off and then you're going to be flying down, you know, the hill. I don't know. I'm using
Thomas
my metaphor
tank,
here, but.
Tank engine in my head. I think I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I think I will say flywheel just because I used to teach spinning a million years ago. And I don't think that resonates with everyone nearly as much as a train does. Cause it is that like,
it's
I mean,
heavy,
tons of steel. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, it does take, and takes a lot of coal, a lot of energy. Do they still run on coal? Note to self, check it out later, to get that going. And then, and then once you get that momentum going, then it flies. And you still have to keep putting in coal. It's not going to just run on its own. Still have to keep putting in those pitches. Still have to keep doing the work. But it's
hopefully move to solar energy.
I was just thinking the same.
Put some panels on top.
Yeah,
you still need some sun. Still need some energy.
I was trying to think of how I could make the sun energy work with it. I'm glad you said that.
I think that there's probably a reason
train.
They haven't done that. There may be.
They're making a solar plane, so.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, there you know, go. Dear train engineers, give us a call. We've got some ideas.
And we'll write your copy for you.
Yeah.
And we'll write your copy.
I like that. Always a pitch opportunity.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I love that. I think that's such a wonderful, insightful metaphor.
Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. My husband. Matthew, go shout out, dude.
Good work.
So I'm curious as to, you went from full-time to freelance. Was that always the goal to go freelance, or did that just happen organically? And where do you see that going in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it was never my goal. Not never. It obviously became my goal, which I have now, achieved and pursuing. It is not my goal to start out with. I think, you know, that safety or the perceived safety of employment, it was just what I knew. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, you go out and you get a job and it's like, okay, well, let's try this freelancing thing. This seems like really was what does my family need? You know, I live in a super tiny town. Well, it's a city technically, but a small, very small city, and in a very small, small rural state, and the job, like writing jobs, just aren't a thing to the extent that I would need them to be here. So, yeah, freelancing became a good, solid solution to that problem of matching up with paid work. Having said that, I would be very surprised if I event like if I were to go back to like full-time W-2 working on staff work. I really appreciate the flexibility of being able to work for whoever I want and take on what projects are appropriate for what's going on in the rest of my life right now. When my kids get older, they'll be more independent and I will be able to take on more projects at a time. So I'll be able to increase my income at that time and my hours that I'm putting in. So it's just like but then, you know, if I want to go on vacation, I don't have to ask anybody's permission. Mm-hmm. Actually,
I know in my head, I'm like, ooh, once they don't need you as much, then you can go on vacation.
Yeah. My son actually said to me the other day, well, yesterday it was like rainy here and it was just like dark. And I was just like, oh, I was telling Joan, I don't feel like working today. He's like, just take a paid sick day, Mom. And I'm like, who's going to pay me, son? Are you going to pay me? And he was like, I'm not interested in paying to be sick or like, you know, take a day off. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to work. So it's like, you know, it's the balance that, mm-hmm. you know, I pay for the convenience of only having deadlines and clients versus having one person tell me where I have to be from 8 to 4 every day. And so everything is a give and take in life. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think freelancing is, it's just right for me, my personality, and definitely for my role in life right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, I think too, that I think that we forget, or people who are hardcore on staffers, that all of that stuff is factored into what they pay you for the salary. Like they factor in those sick days, they factor in that vacation time, they factor in the any benefits, they factor all of that in. Otherwise, they'd be paying you a whole lot more if they knew you would be there every single day. Yeah, it's there are definitely some considerations that I think we're still, even in 2021, still very, very enamored with the idea of like, oh, a job that's so safe. And I just show up and they give me a paycheck. And that's just not how it happens. Oh, I get paid a reasonable rate, which is certainly not true for probably the majority of the population. Not to go down that road at all, but, if you really want to build in sick days for yourself, then you can build that in. If you really want to build in vacation days, then yes, is it a little bit harder than saying, hey, I'm going to take this time off? Sure. But you also, there's no like, I want to take the week between Christmas and New Year's off, and the other three people in my department are taking Christmas and New Year's off. So I guess I'm stuck having to work it or whatever, you know, it all kind of balances out. It's the difference is that you get to make the policies because you're in charge.
I'm really good at being in charge.
Clearly.
So what's next? What's on the horizon in the near future? Do you have any thoughts beyond the near future?
So part of my the last year has been I took on a contract that is not writing centric. It's something, it's really interesting work and I've enjoyed doing it. I'm going to be stepping away from that role at the end of the summer, and I'm going to be going, so I'm going to be back to 100% writing, and that's, I'm really excited for that. There's something about continuing the process of taking ownership of my career and my, I don't know, destiny. Sounds kind of like woo-woo, but so that's one exciting thing. I'm going to be stepping away from that contract and opening myself up to even more copywriting possibilities, even more than I have now. So
that's awesome.
I love it. I think it's an evolution as a freelancing professional to get to that place where you can be confident that you have work and you're confident that you can get work, and but to get to that level where you are comfortable saying no to clients, I think is a next level of growth for a lot of people, because it is we get very used to saying yes to every single project that comes in. Like, you want to pay me, I will absolutely take that money. Yes. But to then ascend to that next level of curating what you want, well, cultivating and then curating what you actually want to be working on, and saying no to some clients that you've been with, and or saying no to some clients that want to work with you. And the more you talk with them, you just think, this is not right for me. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a new special level of growth.
Yeah, it feels luxurious. Honestly, like, that's the word that comes to mind, to be at a place in my career where, yeah, I have the luxury of turning work down. Like, when have I ever been able to do that before? So it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
That's amazing. And congratulations.
I have to ask too, I know your goal is to pay off student loans, right?
Done. Woo! Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's so exciting. I'm so happy for you.
So we're like, except for our house, we have no debt. We're debt free.
Good for you.
It's nuts.
That is awesome. So congratulations.
Great. I hope you, like, I don't know, pop champagne or went out to dinner, whatever your thing is to celebrate. That's a big one.
That's mm-hmm. awesome. Yeah. For sure. All of the above.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
opened up IRA.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a big deal.
Like, yes.
That's, yeah. That means, yeah.
That's how adults celebrate.
I'm not getting any younger, tell you that much. Yeah.
Well, and all that copyright, I'm telling you, it's such a good tax benefit to self-employed folks. That retirement, bring that taxable income down, folks.
Yep. Look, I'm into learning all about that.
Good.
Good day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talk about next level. That's... when you can freelance and contribute to a retirement account, that's some next level stuff too.
Good deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for you.
So what would you say to someone who is interested in copywriting, maybe the kind of taking a look at it, but not really sure, what would you say to someone who's interested, but not sure what to do, or not sure if it's for them, or not sure what their next step should be?
Well, I'll say what I would say to myself as a pre-copywriter, like what you think copywriting is, or like if you take the definition of copywriting, which is, you know, I don't know the definition, but a definition is like sales writing, right? Like, persuading people to buy. Okay. Mm-hmm. This, whatever, broad. It feel like for myself as a nonprofit, you know, faith-based nonprofit person, I was like, oh, I don't know, I guess we do, it feels a little skeezy. I don't know. But that's not, like, I have found that over the last 2 years that now I've been doing this, that it is not at all. Like, you are connecting people with a product or service that is going to help them. And for me, and I know for a lot of people, that's important. It's important to be doing something worthwhile with your life. And I would not have I did not realize how fulfilling sales writing could be until I started doing it. And, you know, you get to work with some like amazing businesses. Like they are I have a lot of nonprofit clients as well, but for-profit businesses that are making a real difference in the world, and they're making a difference to individual people and like having a lot of impact. And I know that was important to me. So if there's anyone like me out there who is like, I don't know, it feels like, you know, selling out or something. Like, I know that's a thought that crossed my mind. I'm selling out my values or something in order to make money. But I'm making money and honoring my values. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. Companies can sell things and still be, and can sell things that people want. So let's help them
be positive forces in the world. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so that, companies,
because you haven't chosen to niche at all, have you?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah.
No. And it kind of like your network is an important piece of freelancing, right? So I do have a lot of nonprofits in my network, which mm-hmm. means I have, you know, nonprofit clients. And that's the beauty of pitching though. Like I'm pitching companies and companies that I find value in or that I can see are adding value to the world. And value comes in so many different shapes and sizes. And I realize that now in a way I did not realize 2 years ago, like how much value, like what people find meaning and value in is not necessarily just Kate Kosodar's definition is the only definition of meaning and value. Mm-hmm. But actually there's like billions of people on the planet, billions of different ways that people make meaning in their lives. And they also, even though they are not the same as me, they also need help connecting with the products and services that they that will help them live their best mm-hmm. life, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And when whatever, and it can be very tiny little things that improve someone's life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Like most of the Instagram purchases I make.
Is someone too, I know you mentioned you're, I would say more rural than maybe what people think of as a kind of like, oh, you have to be in New York or in LA or a, you know, Mad Men type city. Nope. You're in an area in our, I'm curious as to how many of your clients are local versus how many are just out in the world, not local.
Yeah. Let me look at my list here that I've written down. Many of my nonprofit clients are not local to my town, but to my state.
Okay.
I will say that my state as a whole, one of the largest industries in the state is the nonprofit industry, which kind of boggles the mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, my nonprofit clients here in the state, and then not all, I do have a couple of they're not on my roster right now, but I have worked with local companies and businesses here. Mm-hmm. But no, I would say most are not in the state. That's just a handful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's helpful for people to hear because I think there's this perception of like, well, I'm not near a major metro area. Can I do that? I'm not in a major metro area myself right now. And I'm about to be in the largest metro area, but I think it's helpful for people to see that of, oh, wow.
Sure. She's. And I didn't realize that there are actually advertising agencies in my state. Also, I found that out within the last 6 weeks or so that they actually exist. Like there are three. I don't know really. I haven't gone too deep into the rabbit hole. I don't know how large they are or how well they're doing or what they, you know. I do plan on pitching them at some point.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to pitch them.
I am. Yeah. Kate, come on. Don't call me out, man.
Once a coach, always a coach.
Like 6 weeks ago, I think we, where's the pitch?
I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to.
You're busy. You're a busy woman. I understand.
Once this one contract ends at the end of the summer, you know, I'm going to make time to do it.
Was this the contract? I feel like you've been weighing to say no to this for a while. Yeah. So speaking of saying no, what finally got you there?
Yeah, it's an identity thing. There was a switch that flipped or something. And I was like, who I am is a copywriter. I don't know. It's just like all of a sudden, I don't know if it's all of a sudden, but at some point I'm like, I feel like I'm play acting in this other role. And it's taking me away from my real life, which is copywriting. And so when that happened, it gets harder yeah. and harder to keep doing that other thing, even though it's super valuable work. And I deeply respect the people that I work with, in that role. And I think the work that I'm doing is important. It's having an impact, like all these things, it aligns with my values, yeah. but it doesn't align with who I'm becoming or who I see myself as now. I am a writer. And when that sort of happened, I'm like, okay, I gotta like wind that part down so that I can be doing the thing that I am and have that completely, you know, more completely mesh.
I love that so much. It reminds me of, I was listening to Glennon Doyle on an interview, and I haven't dabbled much in her, you know, social media or anything like that, but I caught her on a podcast and she was saying something similar of like being okay with this was my identity. Mm-hmm. And now I've let that go. And that served me well at that moment in time.
Yeah.
And now this is my identity. And it's okay. And it's okay if they conflict completely, you know, if it's not a natural transition from one to the other. So I love that you had that same hearing it again is helpful for me. And I hope for lots of other people that can let go Absolutely. Of those past selves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And good for you for being willing to step into that new kind of just the direction you were heading, but willing to take that leap. Like we said, it's not easy to make a decision like that, but yeah. good for you for embracing that authentically. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's almost like you have, as a freelancer, you have so many options in front of you that it can be kind of paralyzing to decide on a course of action, right? Like when you have like three options in front of you and all three of them are valid and they're like, well, can I really say no? Yeah, I can, because that, you know, that option is saying no to that, that work is just as valid as saying yes to this other work. And, but it can be easy to get paralyzed with all the good choices you have in front of you. Mm-hmm. And I experienced that. I was paralyzed for it. Just like keep, and that's okay too, to just keep going on the path, but, continuing to like discern. That's what we would say in my faith tradition. But to keep thinking about it and reflecting and having the decision process is allowed to take some time. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be done in a day. It can be done mm-hmm. over the period of 6 months or whatever is working for you. So mm-hmm. I don't know. That's it's helpful for me to know that I don't have to have my entire like next 30 years figured out. You know, like my grandfather started work at such and such a company and worked there for until he retired. Like
my dad. Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't that sound awful?
That's terrible.
I'm grateful he did it, but
yes. Thank you, Mr. Sitars. Yeah. But like, yeah. It's so much more fun to not mm-hmm. have the rest of your life planned out right. and to be able to make a career change and to then be able to go full-time freelance and make your schedule the way you want it to be. And it's awesome. Good for you.
Thanks. It's also, I think, it's good for my kids to see that there's this world of possibility. When I went to college, like, my options felt a lot more limited than they feel right now. And just for to be able to my kids watch me go through this hard process mm-hmm. and realize that your career doesn't have to be linear, first of all, and it doesn't have to be like easy to make the next step. It's okay to struggle with the decision. It's okay to struggle at the beginning. Like, hard things are not a bad thing. It actually like can be even more valuable to work through that difficult period and then experience the fruit of that hard time can be even more, delicious. I don't know.
Fruit is delicious.
Yeah. Fruit is delicious. Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, what a great yeah. lesson to teach your children.
I love that.
You can do hard things and you don't have to have everything mapped out, and you can try something different, and you don't have to go the same path that so many other people do.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
So now, if someone has been listening to this and they're not interested in copywriting, they're interested in hiring copywriters, and they're like, ah, that Kate Kosodar, she's a genius. I want to hire her.
She is a genius.
It would
she's
be right.
That's, yeah, obviously. Like, smart. Where can they find you?
I have a very unique and stellar, you won't even believe what my website is. It's crazy. Blow your mind. KateKosodar.com. Boom.
Yes. Boom. We'll link it in the show notes, but for people who are just listening, why don't you spell the URL just in case?
Sure. Kate is the normal one, K-A-T-E. Kosodar is KOSYDAR.com.
.com. Yes. From a sitar's and acrosic, you got to spell it out. Yeah. Otherwise, people aren't going to know.
Understood.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kate. This was a lot of fun. And honestly, I think I have a lot of things to think about as well based on our conversation.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for being awesome. You guys are both great. I admire you both so much.
That's very sweet. Thank you for being awesome. So there you have it, our interview with Kate Kosodar, who obviously is a powerhouse. It was a pleasure for us, and we hope it was a pleasure for you guys too. And we'll catch you in the next episode. Bye, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us on the Build Your Copywriting Business podcast. If you liked what you heard, I'd really appreciate it if you could take a minute or two to leave us a 5-star review. I read each one and they mean the world to me and our team. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to keep learning, follow us at Filthy Rich Writer across social media and on the site. And of course, if your interest is piqued and you think copywriting might be right for you, check out our free on-demand video training at www.freecopywritingtraining.com. Talk to you next time.